right, welcome week six. Man, this thing, we're cooking. We're moving fast here at Primetime Props. Today, of course, I'm joined by Luch, Justin Carlucci, Keith Eister, and playing the role of Justin Bales for today's matinee, Thunder Dan Palio. Welcome, Thunder Dan.
What's up, guys? Glad I could be here. I hope I can fill an ab really for Justin. He's a pretty sharp guy, so I'll do my best.
So, Dan, before we get going here, you got to, like, we're Roto-Baller, correct?
Yeah, yep. Very and do some betting stuff on the side on my own here with my Substack. But been with Roto-Baller for 5 years and a lot of DFS, a lot of season-long stuff and betting stuff, too. Just a little bit of everything.
And tell everyone where we can find you in your Substack.
Yeah, just if you want to, I'm on Twitter at ThunderDanDFS, and my Substack's link right in there. I, you know, do basketball, baseball, football, pretty much the big three all year round. So,
and I gotta ask the one question that is obvious. How'd you get the name Dan? No, how'd you? Where's Thunder? Tell me about Thunder.
Yeah. No, it's if anyone's familiar with the NBA from the '90s, the great Dan Majerle from the Phoenix Sun was his nickname, and I was playing high school basketball. I'm actually more of a football player. I'm built as an offensive lineman out on the basketball floor. So really mainly I was really good at setting illegal screens and fouling really hard. And so my buddy said, Thunder Dan, for some reason, Dan's bringing the thunder or Thunder Dan or something like that. And it kind of stuck. And I just kind of ran with it. But yeah, it is a homage to the original Thunder Dan, who was Dan Majerle with the Phoenix Suns. Great player.
Fun fact, I knew a girl that had sex with Dan Majerle. So,
oh, there you go.
You know, not with me, but with him. So, you know, it's not a great story, all in all. All right, let's kick it off here. We're starting off. Are we starting with the 1 o'clock game, or are you going to London? I don't even remember. I'm starting with a main slate. I threw everybody off with my sex story. It's not even my sex story. Just a sex story. People have sex. What are you going to do? All right. We're going. We're starting with the Steelers and Browns. Steelers 5.5-point favorites, total of 38.5. Thunder Dan, I know that the Steelers are your team. Anything you like over there for the Steelers this week?
There's one spot for the Steelers. I've been betting this spot every week, and it's Jalen Warren's receiving yards. They love to throw him the football. He was out 2 weeks ago, but he's coming off the bye, and the Browns are very difficult to run on. So one thing I like to do is I target kind of pass funnel defenses with running back catches and receptions. And Jalen Warren's, I think, gone over his number every game he's played this year. So it's a pretty low number. I think it's 18.5. See if I got that right.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, you get as low as 15.5 at Fanatics, it looks like.
Yeah. Fanatics always goes low. But yeah, I just, for some reason or another, they maybe it's Aaron Rodgers with his kind of dump off. He has a tendency to dump things off very quickly. And if he gets pressure, or they also just like to scheme him the ball out in the flat as part of their Arthur Smith offense. But that's been a go-to for me all year.
Feet on the ground out there, Pittsburgh-wise. Any concern about Gainwell getting a larger role after what he did 2 weeks ago?
There has been some talk about that, some buzz about that, but I don't think they're going to punish Warren. Gainwell had a great game against Minnesota, but I think just about anybody would have. Minnesota's been just terrible up front. And so I do think he'll probably stick with that, kind of spelling him on third downs or getting at maybe 30% of the touches. But I think Jalen steps back in his 55-60% snap share.
All right. Keith, anything that jumps out at you in this game?
Yeah, I wanted to attack this game through Jalen Warren as well. And I think Dan's taking of the receiving yards is really sharp. He mentioned Cleveland's rush defense, which I think is the best in the NFL. They've allowed the fewest yards per game so far. So an under on Warren's rushing yards would also protect you against kind of that uncertainty of the role, because Gainwell did play really well last week, or the week before. They had the bye last week, but the week in week three, we saw Warren play 80% of the snaps. So I think what Dan said about 55-60% of the snaps for Warren is probably right. And that's where they settle with this backfield. But really tough matchup for Warren. Uncertainty in the snaps. I think he can play the under rushing yards as well.
Yeah.
In the receiver room, Isaiah Bond has been playing a bunch here recently. He's up to 55% of the snaps now in at least three straight weeks. His number is sitting at 27.5, I believe it was. Don't mind a look there at a low receiving yards number.
Luch, you got anything?
First of all, if you like these beautiful widgets on the screen, you're in luck because we're going to have them over there at Props. Our tech team, you know, led by our guy Bill, has been grinding away, and this is beautiful here. You can see all the odds, all the prop lines on every major book. Nice little search function here so I can follow along as we're bouncing around. So big shout out to Bill and our team there at Props. Big things happening over here, which is an awesome asset when you're line hunting, especially early in the week, trying to get that CLV that seems to crush me no matter how far ahead I am. That's just how it works. You know, I'm glad we have a Steelers fan here because I am curious and I need to know if, like, what – we're a quarter of the way through the season. So is it too soon to make a verdict on the Pittsburgh pass defense? Because I kind of like Dylan Gabriel. I never thought I would say these words. But I saw Pittsburgh is – allowing the highest adjusted completion percentage to quarterbacks, and we're in October. So, I mean, am I crazy here for doing that, Dan, or what?
Not at all. I mean, I think that makes a ton of sense, especially like with like the fact that we saw last week, like Gabriel played well. I think they want to get him to get the ball out quickly. If you can get the ball out quickly against Pittsburgh, and I think you're okay when it's those guys that hold the ball are a little more immobile, kind of like we saw with Carson Wentz that run into trouble with the TJ Watt pressures. But I think that's a really low number. I like that. And I was just trying to figure out who he's going to throw to. The tight end situation is so tricky because it's like, I really want to bet Njoku. It's a nice low number, 35, but is, you know, he kind of keeps alternating good weeks with Fannin too, and he's not going away. So I like the, I almost bet the Gabriel number. You might talk me into it, but the rest of the receiving room is just really tough to figure out.
Just generally speaking, and I'm sorry, Jeff, I'll throw it back to you. Just in terms of season long and best ball, you know, Judy and Njoku were killing some folks for sure. At least we got Quinshon Judkins out of this Brown situation. But all right,
well, go ahead, I actually have two questions. Question number one, am I blurry? Because I look blurry. I don't know what happened to my camera or why I'm blurry, but I think I'm, if I look blurry, that's why I'm not fading out of existence. I look okay to you?
He looked like what it looked like when I was watching the Yankees get eliminated by the end of the night. So
I have no idea. I have no idea what's happening. So just, you know, I think I'm better looking with this blurry look. So that's good. Number two, you mentioned Judkins. He's touched the ball. I think he's had 21 or 23 carries in the last two games, both horrible losses. Like they're clearly feeding him the ball. This game stays close. Like what's his prop? What's his over, you know, a touchdown? Sure. What about his rushing yards? I think they're gonna give him the ball no matter what. I mean, that's a little high. But he's gonna touch the ball. He's getting 20 carries no matter what, right?
Most likely, yeah.
Depends what the script is. I mean, Keith, maybe you can touch on that. It seems like although his receptions numbers haven't, you know, lit the world on fire, they are not shying away from using him in the pass game. He's at least running some routes. So, I don't know, got any take on Judkins?
I like it. I think the volume is going to be there, even if the game script doesn't go well for him.
It did the last 2 weeks.
Right. They're going to keep him involved either way. So I don't mind it.
All right. I'm glad I brought that up. Anything else I have this, guys, or are we moving on?
I think the Browns could pull off an upset. I think the Steelers are frauds. One of these weeks they're going to lose. They're just not good.
I mean, absolutely brutal – brutal sports week in Pennsylvania and the tri-state area between whatever happened to the Eagles last night. And I'm ready for some AJ Brown cryptic tweets and the Phillies just got in the Yankees and
Penn State lost to
the Steelers lost. Damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I keep betting against the Steelers cause I don't believe in them and they keep winning. So maybe I'll just not bet against them this week.
All right, let's go to Miami, where the Chargers are coming to town, coming 3,000 miles across the country as 4.5-point favorites, despite missing approximately 18.5 offensive linemen. Total there set at 43.5. Nobody came to me pregame with anything here, so I'm going to throw it out into the wilderness. Anybody like anything?
All right.
Go ahead.
I'll bite the bullet and go first, and I didn't love it, but earlier in this week, Hassan Haskins was at 29.5. I sprinkled that, and I don't know how this split is going to go. Vidal was the 2024 best ball darling over the summer, and that was up. They kind of split the workload last week in a small sample size. I don't know. I'm just assuming here that they can play with a lead, hopefully, at some point. And Hassan Haskins is the bigger body. You would imagine he'd be used on early downs a little more. I mean, I don't think it's unreasonable for him to have like 8 carries against the same defense that Rico Dowdle dismantled. Keith, what do you think? I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I like that call. I am worried about the Chargers offensive line. They're down Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, obviously. And then they're down their third tackle as well, Trey Pipkins, who played a little guard after they drafted the 2 stud tackles. That offensive line is getting really thin, but it at that low number, I'm okay with it. I think Haskins is involved probably at least 40% of the time. You could with upside for something like 60, 65%. So I don't mind that look at all. The Miami rush defense is nothing to be scared of, as Rico Dowdle proved to us last week. So I like that look. Keenan Allen's a guy I've been on all season long. They finally moved his receptions prop from 4.5 to 5.5, but we're getting plus money on it. If they are unable to run because of the offensive line, maybe they look to the short passing game a little bit more. So I don't mind Keenan Allen, even though that receptions prop is now at 5.5, if you can get it at plus money. I also like him at 51.5 receiving yards. He's been over that, I think, 4 out of 5 weeks this season. So Keenan Allen is my look there for the Chargers. On the other side, without Tyreek Hill, we saw Jalen Waddle go back to doing the work that he was doing before Tyreek Hill came to town, 25% target share, had 6 receptions for 110 yards. Tough matchup here for him, obviously, but I think he's going to have a massive role. 5.5 receptions is my preferred look. The receiving yards is all the way up at 67.5 yards. I think he's going to be involved. I'm not sure how efficient he's going to be. So give me over 5.5 receptions for Jalen Waddle.
Anything down there, Miami Thunder, Dan?
I was just, while you guys were talking, trying to eye up the Vidal props. And if we think he's the third down back, his over receptions is 1.5 at plus 105 at BetGM. I mean, that two catches for plus money. I mean, if he's going to play 30-40% of the snaps, and like you said, they're forced to throw more because they can't run a lot. I don't know. I don't mind that one. That's a super low number for at a good value.
I like it a lot.
How about let's take a look. All this talk about throwing more. What's Herbert's pass attempts at?
Looks like 34.5 I have here.
I mean, Miami's slow. They want to play slow. So, but that's not a horrible number, 34.5. Not great either. Yeah. I'm rescinding.
Kind of right where it should be, basically, I think. Yeah.
Luch, anything you like?
Just, I'm not exactly sure how to attack the Chargers defense. They're not bad. I just feel like it's the same story every year, regardless of who's on the coaching staff and who's calling the plays. On paper, they should be dynamite. They disappointed a little bit last week against Washington. Just Darren Waller, up to 58% of the snaps last week. I know he's been dinged up a little bit in practice this week. He has proved me wrong. He has looked pretty damn good, better than I anticipated. And I guess I'm just fairly interested in him. I kind of was joking last week, what if McDaniel uses him in the Jonnu Smith role? Well, holy shit, he did. For whatever that means, take it for how it is. And Darren Waller is a big part of this offense now.
Yep. Just for those of you worried about the weather, sunny and 86 degrees in Miami. So, you know, the Chargers will be sitting in the sun out there in the Miami heat. You know, that's always the little narrative there. So, this game to me, I feel like that 43.5 number on the total is just about right. I feel like it's going to be a little slower than we want it to be for our fun fantasy purposes and betting the overs. Let's go to New Orleans, where the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites in the Dome. 45.5 total. This has a sneaky shootout potential, as they say in the biz. Keith, let's start with you. I know you're looking at Drake May.
Yeah, a couple of things I like in this game. I actually like this game a lot for DFS as well. Drake May is a quarterback I've played a ton this season in DFS. I like his rushing yards prop in this spot. New Orleans has allowed the 7th most rushing yards to quarterbacks this season. They were top 10 in rushing yards allowed to quarterbacks last season. So really good spot for Drake May. He hasn't been running as much the last couple of weeks, but he does have 2 games where he's up over 30 rushing yards. The line sitting at 20.5. I like him to go over that in this spot in what should be a fast-paced game with a lot of plays. I like Rattler to go over the rushing yards on his side as well. He's sitting at 16 and a half. Alvin Kamara popped up on the injury report. One of my favorite props this week was Kendre Miller's rushing yards. Obviously, if Kamara misses, I'm in at 30 and a half on that. It's not on, on the books any longer because of the Kamara injury report. So we're sitting really pretty in early there. But if that comes back up and Kamara does play and it pops back in at around 30 to 35, Kendre Miller has been more involved here recently. So I like that. I mentioned it last week. Jeff liked it a lot. He ran with it as one of his favorite props of the week. It hit easily. He was up to 39% of the snaps last week. So Kendre Miller, if Kamara is active, I absolutely love that spot.
Honestly, yeah. If you, I'm starting to think even if Kamara is inactive, how high could the number possibly?
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be up in the high 60s, I would think, which then becomes a little bit scarier.
I don't think it'll be that high.
You don't think so?
Because he's gotten no respect so far this year anyway. These numbers have been low every week, and you've been hitting it. So, yeah, I think I'm going to say 57 and a half. I'm on record.
I'd be in at that number.
Yeah.
All right. Who else is going to carry the ball there? I mean,
nope. Taysom Hill.
Well, that, you make a good point there. Maybe.
We don't know. Dan, I know you also have some eyes on this game.
Yeah, I was looking over on the New England side at Stephon Diggs. Just the last 2 weeks, 41 and 43% target share. We saw him go nuts last week, 10 for 146. Against Carolina, he was 6 for 101. He's sitting at 59.5. That's just such a low number for a guy that seems to be kind of taking over the wide receiver room and asserting himself as the wide receiver one. We know the New Orleans pass defense is not good. And if we expect Drake May to throw a lot, and they, like I said, a lot of pace, a lot of plays, then, you know, I think Steph Diggs can go over 60 yards pretty easily.
You know what I love doing sometimes when I see that 60-yard number for either a receiver or a running back? Ask myself, is Stephon Diggs going to go for over 1,000 yards this year? And if the answer to that is yes, then over 60 is yes, right? Because you do a little bit of math, 60 times 17, we're over 1,000 yards, blah, 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 right?
Yeah,
and, you know, using that as a barometer, right? And so, yeah, I really do like that. Luch, what do you got on the docket here?
Yeah, I like Diggs, and what surprised me after last week's numbers came out is that he only played 50% of the snaps last week. In week four, he played 63%. I was pretty hell-bent that we'd see at least 70 last week. That wasn't the case. But when he was out there, boy, there was no secret what they wanted to do. He got absolutely fed. So the last 2 weeks, 39% target share, 54% air yard share, according to Fantasy Points. The same Stephon Diggs that couldn't get a ball outside the line of scrimmage when he was in Houston before he got hurt. is now the catalyst with Drake May. So the one thing that has stayed relatively consistent is New England's throwing the ball much more than I thought they would. And I think, you know, that has a little bit to do with the OC and the philosophy there. Ninth highest neutral pass rate in the league, according to Fantasy Points, which is more good news. And, you know, unless Mike Vrabel, who loves his veterans and loves his guys who can block and he's old school, unless he freaking takes the training wheels off of Travion Henderson, finally, he's going to have a just god-awful clown car of a committee with Ramondre Stevenson that keeps fumbling. And you know, Antonio Gibson's hurt now, too. So, what are you going to do? Some would say, well, if Henderson's out there, maybe they'll run the ball a little bit more. But he's a pretty darn good pass catcher, too. So I think having Henderson out there actually helps Drake May's case to kind of, you know, keep trending in the right direction, because he's a yak monster. He makes guys miss so much and so easily that I'm kind of with you guys. I don't want to overreact here, but I do think it's wheels up this week for New England.
Listen, if you loved my Daniel Jones for MVP and loved my Jaden Daniels for MVP calls, have I got a call for you right now. Mike Vrabel, coach of the year. All right.
Ooh.
At FanDuel, I'm looking, he's at +850. I haven't shopped it. I saw a number the other day. The Patriots' rest of the season schedule so far this year, teams are at 0.305 winning percentage.
I couldn't believe they lost that game to the Steelers. The five turnovers, they let Pittsburgh off the hook in that game. It was so bad. It was like, oh, they should have won that game. They'd be in good, really good shape if they had that win too. But yeah, I mean, I like that.
Yeah, you know, the next closest is the Broncos with like a 420 winning percentage that they're going up against. I mean, they're playing nobody the rest of the way, right? The Patriots. They already beat the Bills once. I mean, Patriots win this division, Vrabel's coach of the year, right?
Most, there you go. Probably, yeah.
So there you go. There's my Yeah, I feel like we need like a graphic and a siren for whenever I want to throw out a stupid future. I'll get to work on that. Anything else in this game, guys? How about Shahid? I like Shahid.
You like Shahid? You got any crazy hot takes on Shahid?
No, I do. He's like, once again, like the under receptions, over yards, and a touchdown play, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to put that Mac Jones MVP slip in if he plays this week and continues the ball out? I'm waiting for you in a couple weeks to say it. I don't know. Are we going to see Mac Jones?
I think we are. I'm not there on Mac Jones. Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Where'd that noise come from? Did you all hear that? The doing.
I'm a master of none. Yeah. I have some tricks. Yeah, what was that? Whenever Jeff makes a pick, I don't know, you like the gong better. Next MVP slip you tout, we're gonna gong it up here.
if I take the Shahid bet, I'm probably just doing receptions because he's gone over 3.5 all five games. What I'm looking at, either the yards have been like fluky up and down, but 3.5, I think what -130, it's a little juice there, but you know, if that's probably the angle I would take.
You know, if you guys believe in everything you read on Twitter, you know, which you probably do, yes. There's some Rashid Shahid smoke that he might be available. I think there were some real reports, and to no surprise, that the Saints might be, you know, discreetly shopping some of their veterans or that other teams might be calling about them. I don't know. Maybe Shahid's, you know, caught wind of some trade talks. You like a good narrative? I mean, he's been great, though. Yeah, you're right. And he was good before. He was really good before he got hurt last year, too. That was really disappointing that he went down. Yeah, we'll see. That game is sneaky. We'll see. I mean, the Saints are also passing really high neutral clip.
Patriots D is pass funnel, too. Like, they really are pretty decent against the run. So we could see a lot of volume from the Saints passing game. So I'm kind of coming around on it. We'll talk about it.
Nothing like building a DFS stack in my brain during the show because Lord knows that has just happened.
Garbage stacks.
That's my favorite. All right, let's another West Coast team traveling east. The Seahawks, 1.5-point favorites. Coming to Jacksonville, the Jaguars, 4-1. Fresh off beating the Chiefs, 47.5 total there. Dan, you, me, and the rest of the world, we all love JXN. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, man, JSN's just so money. Like the only game he let me down was that fluky Arizona game where he like didn't do anything in the whole first half and he went under. But otherwise, he's been over his yardage, like just like way over, right? Way over every week. He's just such a stud and he's getting targeted like crazy. Jacksonville, I believe, gives up like most 75 or 78% to guys outside, and JSN's not a slot receiver anymore. He's lining up 75% of the time. Widen the formation, so he's not this like slot dink and dunk guy anymore. He gets open deep. He's just doing it all. I think the number's still too low. Where's I think the best one's 77, 78, something like that. Where do you got him there? I mean, wherever it is, it's too low.
All I know is looking at this screen, we got Jackson Smith and JXN. I'm not going to pronounce it right. And Juju on the same page. I mean, can you come up with two more different players in the entire NFL? Anyway, JSN is a stud. He's Puka Light. I mean, I wouldn't even say Puka Light. He's Puka. What's in between light and regular? We need something new in there because he's that close. What else do we like, Keith? What's sticking out to you here?
Yeah, JSN's been a favorite of the podcast early in the season, so Dan is fitting right in with that take. We're certainly on board with that. We've been on him all year, and I agree with Dan. The market hasn't quite caught up to the true role here. It's one of the best in the entire league. I don't have a lot else in this game. On the Jacksonville side, they're missing their tight end. Strange is out on IR. Hunter Long steps in, presumably. I don't know if I want to make that bet yet until I see what it looks like. I don't really have anything here for Jacksonville and Seattle. I'm with Dan on JSN.
I just have two unrelated points that, you know, God bless you. If you spent early to mid-round draft capital on Kenneth Walker, you're not going to like this. Zach Charbonnet's played 7% of the snaps inside the 5, 73% of the snaps inside the 10. And the kicker is he's terrible at football. So, you know, here I am playing armchair GM. This guy just runs straight. And nothing against Brian Robinson of Washington, but I kind of felt the same way. And they felt so highly of him to get rid of him before the season started. So I don't know. Kenneth Walker is a talented guy. I know they want to keep him healthy, and he hasn't been able to stay on his feet his whole career. Maybe that has a little bit to do with it. Initially, I was interested in Kenneth Walker rushing yards in this game, which has nothing to do with touchdowns. And I saw he played a whopping 44% of snaps last week. And I just can't do it. Overall, though, I'm not going to bet many sides this week. I do like Seattle, though. I just see Jacksonville coming off of this massive emotional high on a short week. And to be honest with you, you'll call me a biased Titans fan, but if you read or watched any of my content in the last 10 years, I am anything but that. I don't think Jacksonville's good. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is good. That was the luckiest winning touchdown run I've ever seen. I mean, talk about a guy who literally keeps falling flat in his face. And that's what happened. Yeah. Somehow got in. but I mean, look at Kansas City and great win for the Jags. I actually have a couple Jags fans close to home. There's something wrong with us up here in Northeastern Pennsylvania. You know, a couple Jags fans and the Titans fans. I don't know, but I'm happy for them. I do think it's a fraudulent 4-1 start. The Chiefs had to commit 13 freaking penalties for over 100 yards. Literally shot themselves in the foot. The offense looked great. We know the defense has been a problem for Kansas City. But I just feel like it's going to be kind of a roller coaster here. I know Seattle, Tampa Bay was by far, I think, the best competition they played this year, and that was a really good game. I just feel I feel pretty good about them winning outright this week against Jacksonville.
Me too. Love that.
Okay.
All right, let's go to – no, you got it. All right, let's go to Indianapolis. The Colts I got them, what are we, seven point favorites over the visiting Arizona Cardinals. Looks like Kyler Murray will be on the field for this game. 47.5 total. Spreadsheet feels a little high to me, but what do I know? Yeah, it's a game that nobody pointed anything out to me. So I'm just going to mention something that I heard Rich Rebar of a Sharp Football Analysis note that Daniel Jones, my dark horse MVP candidate, leads the NFL quarterbacks in first half fantasy points. Okay. DraftKings points, and he's 23rd in second half fantasy points. So what's my takeaway there? If you think that this game stays close, or any game that the Colts are going to play this year stays close, there's a nice little tournament quarterback for you. So that said, I'll throw it out to the field here. Anyone got their eyes on anything in Indy?
Since we spoke this morning, I got one little angle, and I kind of have this little niche with running back receiving props. They're always so low and they're always so tempting. Taylor's been over 15.5 all five games this season. Arizona's pretty decent on the run. They haven't given up a 100-yard rusher, but they have given up a bunch of receiving yards. I think there's something like 8th or 9th in the league. So it's just a low number, 15.5. You can get that at Fanatics, I think 140. Even up around 16.5, 17.5 if you want to, you know, get better numbers on it. I still think that's a doable thing. They've kind of used him in the passing game more than dumping off the ball and screens and short passes to kind of as extension of their run game. So I kind of like that one if I had to pick one.
How about a little, let's take a walk down. I haven't even heard anyone talking about this narrative. Marvin Harrison Jr. coming back to dad's house.
Good one.
I'm creating narratives here. Not that I'm going to bet it, because they can't figure out how to get him the ball the right way. But, outside of that, I like it. Keith, anything that you like in this game?
Nothing really for me. I don't mind the Marvin look. He looked a little better. I've stated before, he looks pretty uninterested this season. He's starting to come around a little bit. He's been more involved the last couple of weeks. Maybe this is a week back in dad's house. So I don't mind that call. I was looking at Daniel Jones, trying to figure out an angle there. The Cardinals are a pass funnel defense. His passing yards was all the way up at like 236 when I saw it.
Yeah.
I do see a 231 out there now. I don't mind that. I would still like that to come down a little bit before I jump on it. If you can get it under, if it falls under 230, I think I would be in on Daniel Jones over passing yards.
Do you remember when we got Jones at like 208 week one? Like,
it was beautiful. Bales has been on the rushing and the passing and rushing for Daniel Jones all season. So he's been another favorite of the pod.
I got one more if you're interested. Alec Pierce is going to come back this week, and his receiving yards is at 29.5. I mean, he's been well over that in all five games. Daniel Jones really seems to like him a lot. He's the reason why I didn't bet any Pittman or Downs props, because I was worried if Pierce would play. And if Pierce is going to play and play, you know, a decent amount of snaps, that's just a super low bar. Like, he's kind of their deep guy. He could clear that in one catch.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. You know, Indy is kind of, in a sense, like Buffalo. Love to run the ball, have, you know, great running backs. They spread out their volume with the pass catchers. It's tough. That's why I hate for DFS. I hate anytime Buffalo's on a showdown slate, because, you know, it's a low volume attack and you got to gamble on who's going to catch the touchdown. I kind of get the same vibes with the Colts. Then again, I don't have coach of the year odds in front of me. What is Shane Steichen? Because
he's the favorite. He's the favorite.
He's the favorite. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm not going to bet that then, but I'm really impressed with his play calling. And just the way he can manipulate the pocket for Daniel Jones. And it's almost like Sean McVay-ish. McVay's been a master of moving Matt Stafford around, but like not too much, right? Keeping him comfortable, but manipulating that pocket to kind of get some room. I just, you know, I feel like more coaches, and it's a copycat league, they should be mimicking, you know, some of those principles that, you know, Steichen has done with Daniel freaking Jones. And this Colts offense, after everyone wrote off Michael Pittman, you know, he's a bust. Well, just need a little competency back there. But I mean, Jonathan Taylor plus 210 to score two touchdowns. And at this point, it's kind of warranted. I've been kind of keeping tabs on two touchdown props as kind of like an indicator for DFS. And honestly, mostly everybody that's been inside of 3-1 has scored at least twice. And it's nothing I want to bet, but the Ashton Jeanty week, I talked about it last week. I don't think he had a rushing touchdown up until that point. He had three. He exploded against the Bears. I mean, we knew the Bears were, you know, a terrible run defense, but it's interesting kind of the correlations you can make. And we know Vegas is right more often than they're not. 210 for JT to score twice. I'm guessing he dumps it in twice this week, at least.
Right. Crazy.
Makes sense. Hey.
He's unstoppable. All right, can I interest you in another West Coast team traveling east? The Rams, 7.5-point favorites, coming to Baltimore without Lamar Jackson, of course. 49.5, is that right? Is that right? Or am I note-taking? 44.5. That makes more sense. And breaking news, we love an under. Dan, who do you – there's somebody you don't like here, huh?
Yeah, it's Derrick Henry. Let's, you know, and I know that's a sad day for Luch, because, you know, all those years he watched Derrick Henry run for his Tennessee Titans. But right now he's in a bad spot, man. It's just they don't have anything going on offense. Last week he was 15 for 33, right? Like barely 2 yards a carry. He hasn't gone over his number since week one. He had that big week against Buffalo, and then he's been 23, 50, 42, 33, like just way under. There's a really good chance they get in another negative game script where they have to throw because their defense cannot stop anybody. So if they go down 14-0, are we going to see Derrick Henry get fed? Probably not. I just think, you know, what, 73.5 or 74.5, whatever it is just way too high for a guy that is probably going to be, you know, in a negative game script most of the game.
I love that bet. Yeah. Sad to see, but I do love it. What else we got here? Does Puka still have two arms and two legs? I haven't checked.
As far as we know,
then I think it's a safe bet to bet whatever his bet over everything with Puka. I also don't even care.
It's up there this week. It's really up there.
What is it? What's his reception? Is his reception? Did they move it to 8.5 or
8.5? 8.5 plus money.
Yep. Remember it was 6.5 for the first few weeks? Oh my God.
That's where the limb story came from. Right. Jeff said if he's still got both arms and legs and it's 6.5, you're betting it. And it hasn't missed. I like, obviously, everything Puka. Love the Derrick Henry under call, and it's because of how I think the game plays out. Like, Baltimore, their defense hasn't been able to stop anyone, and now they're without their MVP quarterback. So this looks like they're going to be playing from behind. For that reason, I'm on Kyren Williams over rushing yards as well, seeing 71.5 out there. Baltimore has allowed the fourth most rushing yards in the league. This is an awesome Kyren Williams spot.
Love it.
Yeah. McVay strikes me as a coach that he's just going to go out. He knows, like, this game's trappy. Like, right, it's a trappy game. Just in general, coming out, you know, without – you're flying across the country. You're going to go up against a backup quarterback. You're going up against a desperate team. This feels to me like a game that McVay's going to be like, we're just going in to win. We're not doing anything fancy. Just win the game. And if that's the case, I could see Kyrie with like pushing 30 carries, honest to God. I love that number.
DFS, I think he's a really nice pivot because Puka will be uber chalk and Kyron Williams is super cheap. I'm drafting, he's like 6,300 or some stupid
number. What's his two touchdown number there, Luch? I can find it.
Yeah. I see it at plus 340. No, at Vandal, at least.
Well, maybe this will be the quorum week everybody wanted 2 weeks ago.
I don't think so. I think this is like we win this game, especially since they've just lost to the Niners, right? They got to win this game. I just think this is going to and they should win this game. I mean, Baltimore is a broken team right now. I think they're going to play this close to the vest, just pound the ball, go home with a 20-3 victory or whatever and be done with it.
I'm trying to talk through this Derrick Henry thing because I don't know. I didn't really watch that game after it got ugly. There were just so many other better games on. I'm today years old, as the kids say, learning that last week was Derrick Henry's highest snap count of the year in terms of percentages. That's just ridiculous.
It's because in the second half, they just like almost gave up and just were like running the football and punting. Like, it was really pathetic. They got him a touchdown late, but like they left him in and they just kind of like gave up. It was really weird. Like,
coaching malpractice. Imagine if he would have got hurt. Could you imagine the media this week if he got hurt in the second half of that game? Because he only ran two less routes than Justice Hill, and I was very confused that Houston had the ball for 13 more minutes than Baltimore. I get it. 27 first downs for the Texans. Good Lord, last week.
And, I mean, Houston is like a mediocre offense, I think, and they made them look like Super Bowl champs. It's just like they are so bad right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on the heavy under. I like that.
I mean, you don't need to be like a true analyst, like and a tape bro, to realize that when you have a power running back without the threat of like Lamar Jackson, like you just put eight guys in the box go ahead, Cooper Rush, beat us. It's not going to happen,
They did it in Tennessee for years, even on the bad teams. I mean, they had a couple nice teams in there, but.
Plus, he's old. I mean, let's not forget, he's getting, what's he, 30-something, which is,
32, like 33.
That's old for a running back, especially, and somebody who's taking a lot of hits. Again, it just seems from a very, 10,000-foot surface, it seems impossible for Baltimore to be able to move the ball through Henry, But, again, I'm the schmuck. I forgot to mention that. Three experts in the schmuck. I'm the schmuck. all right, the Cowboys circus continues. It rolls on. To Carolina, 49.5 total. Cowboys are field goal favorites. I mean, who doesn't have this game circled? Keith, let's start with you. I'm not even going to pronounce this guy's name. Go for it.
I'm not sure I know how to pronounce his name, but I like his role. I believe it's Flannoy. The R, I believe, is silent. I don't.
Who
think
has
so.
A silent R? There's no such. I've never heard of a silent R before.
I think that is, don't quote me on that, but that's what we're rolling with here. Right. But 57% of the snaps last week with no CeeDee Lamb and no Kevontae Turpin. Lamb is out again. Turpin is looking like he's going to miss. The number is at 33.5. I like the over on Ryan Flannoy to have a real role here in this Dallas attack here against Carolina, who's not as bad of a defense as they were last year, but still nothing to be afraid of. Dak is playing at a really high level, so. Give me Flannoy over 33.5 receiving yards.
What else we got here? Dan, I know you got your eye on Tent, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I love that call by Keith. I actually didn't see that number up earlier, so I don't know if that just went up that's an obvious one. He's like my punt of the week for DFS too. Yeah. But on the other side, Tent has been the spot we circle every week has been Dallas's pass defense. It was Garrett Wilson last week. He got there late in garbage time, but he got there. Tet's been really good, and it's like, the number one guy. What's the number? I'm sorry. I'm just catching up here. 68.5, 69.5. I just think it's a pretty low bar for a wide receiver one who's getting a 25-30% target share against arguably the worst pass defense in football. So, and I think Carolina could keep it close. I know I thought the Jets could keep it close last week, and they didn't, but, Dallas' defense is not good, and Carolina's got some guys who can make plays. So maybe high scoring, maybe close, could be a lot of fun for props and DFS.
Javonte Williams, I feel like is, I like a lot of things with Javonte Williams.
He's been awesome. He looks great.
He's been awesome. And, you know, let's not, you know, if we go back, what, 3-4 years, he was the darling of the DFS world. Everyone loved Javonte Williams. And he had a massive knee injury. Last year, he was not the same. Second year back from the knee injury, that's the year they said that, you know, he could come back to normal. He's exceeding normal. Again, another stat I heard today, listen to the Rebar and Hilo on the Searching for Ceiling podcast. If the season ended today, Williams would have the highest yards per carry in Dallas Cowboys history.
Wow.
Better than Zeke, better than Dorsett, but, you know, better than Emmett, right? He's killing it, you know?
Better than Julius Jones? Wow.
So, yeah, I like all things Javonte, you know, even, you know, close game, not close game, like you could go receiving with Javonte if you think the game's going to get, you know, out of control. Go rushing with Javonte if you think the Cowboys are going to control it. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that I like with Javonte. I think I'm going to hit a couple things there. Lutro, you haven't spoken up yet on this game. Anything that stands out to you?
I guess I'm just a little surprised. If you would have asked me blindly to score 2 touchdowns, you know, whose odds would be inside of 3-1, Javonte Williams or Kyren, I would have said Kyren when, mm-hmm. you know, are inactive. But Javonte Williams plus 280 on FanDuel. Yeah. And, I was looking at that. Now I'm a little, you know, I'm not – I don't have a lot of conviction behind, you know, Javonte going off. He's having a great year. Carolina's defense has been hard for me to get a pulse on. Dan, I actually saw your tweet last week. You're going back and forth with some of your followers about Achane and, I just pick up on some DVOA stuff. And I'm curious if you have picked up anything on Carolina's side of the football, you know, with this matchup with Javonte. I'm sure people will be interested in Ferguson. I'm sure Javonte.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a big decision point, the whole Dallas offense.
Yeah, it really is. I think Ferguson's your safest bet just because they're so bad against the tight end and he's getting such a massive target share. Pickens is so kind of hit and miss with, you know, boom bust. But Javonte has been really good. I'm doing my running back matchups article for tomorrow, and Javonte's in there just because the Dallas offensive line has been just much better this year. They were really not good last year. And they've been a lot more improved. Carolina, on the other hand, has been better. Like, they were a doormat last year, and they're much better. So I actually shied away from his rush number because it's like 70. It's up there in the mid-70s now, high 70s. And for a while, his touchdown prop was free. Like, he was like minus 110 or 115 for a touchdown, which was nice. And now it's minus 200. So you almost have to go with that 2-touchdown route. I really want to bet Javonte in somehow, but I haven't done it because – we are seeing the market adjust. And like you said, Carolina's just like not that bad. They held Achane to 16 yards rushing. So yeah, I don't really know where I want to go with this game. And that's kind of why I didn't put anything down. I just, on the Dallas side, I kind of stumped.
Well, the other thing I really like on the Dallas side, I'm really talking about something in Dallas, by the way, Jake Ferguson, as you mentioned, I mean, he's nearing, like, does he have all his limbs territory without CD in the lineup? I mean, so without CD, 12 targets, you know, nine receptions on 12 targets, 13 on 14, 7 for 7, and 7 for 9. I think he's at 5.5. You know, I think you're paying some juice on it. But, I mean, you know, the Ferguson, you know, and the yardage, I mean, what, 49.5? I mean, he's at that 2 of the 4 games, but they're going to pepper him with targets. So, I mean, the 6.5 at plus money to me, I mean, he's hit it off 4 games. I don't see any reason to stop now.
Did anyone see if Turpin practiced today? Because I think that is – not that he's going to change everything, the whole offense, but I do think it's a little bit underrated that Turpin was also out last week, and it's something that I'm keeping my eye on. I want him out again to be hammering all these Dallas overs. But if he's out again, what do you
got? Long as I'm not getting trolled, Rap Sheet tweeted 10 minutes ago that Turpin is out.
There you go. Wheels up.
And so is Lamar officially. CD out. I mean, we kind of figured that. Miles Sanders again. Jaden Blue gonna get another chance at backing up Javonte here. Another best ball darling, depending on
what month you I got a lot of shares.
So I'll see how much of a sicko I am. Do you guys remember Turpin when you guys playing spring football DFS a couple years ago when Turpin was with the I think it was with the Generals, the New York team? No, nobody, just me. All right, I'm the sicko. Good.
good, man. I played Outlaw Tour golf during the pandemic. So,
right. Oh man, during the pandemic, I was playing KBO baseball.
KBO was highly profitable.
KBO.
I loved KBO. It was. I'm East Coast. I set my alarm. You know, the lineups didn't come out until like 5 minutes before like first pitch. Right. I'd set my alarm for 5:15 a.m. Look at the lineups. Make my lineup. Go back to sleep. Wake up. It'd be the sixth inning. I'd have a sweat. Oh, it was great. I miss KBO so much. Don't miss COVID. Man. Miss KBO. And I was playing League of Legends. No fucking idea what I was doing. Could not tell you one thing about League of Legends. Playing DFS League of Legends. It was
one of those were. So, I used to wake up and watch those at like 6 in the 5 in the morning and turn on Twitch and like watch it. And I wouldn't have notes. I would just watch them blowing each other up. And I'm like, I didn't know what team I was rooting for. But I mean, those were so much fun on DFS, man.
Yeah, the thing about the Outlaw Tour is you can pay to play, and I don't golf anymore. I golfed a little in high school. I was terrible. I'd probably pick up clubs now and shoot like a 120. But I kind of wanted my picture on DraftKings. I wanted to be like the min price guy for the next tournament. So I was really thinking about just doing it to say I did it, you know, and had a real salary. Before we move on, we actually had a comment in our YouTube chat here. A weekly lineup decision. I'll put you on the spot, Keith, with this one. Half point PPR. He has to pick a flex between Breece Hall, ETN, Sutton, Marvin Harrison, or Brian Thomas Jr.
Man, this is not a question I expected to field today. Yeah, off the top, I feel like the answer for me would be ETN. I haven't done the research here that I would normally have on a question like this. Breece has a really tough matchup, I know, and ETN's role has been awesome. So my initial lean is ETN, but take it with a grain of salt.
I think he'll give you the highest floor, right? I mean, that's even a loaded team, man. That's a tough decision. probably with an ETN. Anyway.
American pitchers in the KBO, man. That was printing money too.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
I missed the KBO.
I'm trying to think of that guy's name. Was it Dan Straley? Was pitching over
there? Yeah. Straley was there. Yeah. Flexen was over there for a couple years. Yep.
Right.
Was Eric Lauer there? Did I make that up?
At what point I think he was.
He was before COVID, I think.
Yeah.
Like he was 19. He was over there in 19, I think.
That was the thing. Guys would go over there and like reinvent themselves and like learn all these different breaking balls and come back and you know, and have success for a while, at least until everyone figured them out. But
I'm telling you right now, if someone would sit down and make a documentary about us idiots playing KBO during COVID, I think that's a Netflix hit right there.
I got a name for you. Just Drusimer Despagne was over there.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
There was a couple of hitters too. I can't remember any of the names now, but you know, it was a lot of fun.
Enough. Yep.
All right, we're losing everybody here. All right, let's go. We got our three game late slate here. Ugly game. I feel it could be a sneaky fun game one though. Raiders 4.5 point favorites over the Titans 41.5 total, which I feel is pretty low. Everyone here has the same idea. I also have the same idea, Mr. Jante, as I like to say. But yeah, this seems like a Raiders run game festival. Yes.
Yeah, I think you could play any Eshaginti prop that you wanted. He has looked amazing. Didn't have the pass catching role for a while. Now does have it. I just like the straight up rushing yards in this spot. Tennessee hasn't been able to stop anyone on the ground. I expect Las Vegas to play with a lead. Sorry, Luch. Ginty should have a ton of work here. 72.5 rushing yards looks too low to me.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm going the other way. I'm going with receiving just because it's a low number, and that's my thing. It's 15.5. I'm counting on them, you know, like seeing that throwing in the football is working. Like last week, 7 targets and 5 catches for 42 yards, and hopefully they make that part of their offense because I don't think their offensive line is all that great. It's kind of mediocre. So if anything, if they get a little bit of resistance in the run game, just throw them the football. The guy can do great things with it out in space.
Yeah, I'm shocked to learn that he's plus 410 to score twice, Genty. I thought that number would be like 3-1. I don't know if it's because it's just a fairly low total or what, but outside of Jeffrey Simmons is playing at a freakish level, and it's a shame that this is probably his best year and it's going to waste. But other than him, there's no one else that can tackle on Tennessee. Honestly, much like Jacksonville won the game against Kansas City, Tennessee got the win. But make no mistake, the Cardinals pissed down their own leg in historic proportions to lose that game. It was cool that they gave Cam Ward the chance to go down there, and he looked amazing in that less than 2 minute drill. Like, give me some more of that. Inject that in my veins, as they say nowadays. But it should have never even got to that point. Like, that's a fireable offense right there for Jonathan Gannon, who's probably on his way out anyway. I don't know what to expect in this game, because I don't think the Raiders are even a subpar team. I think they're bad. And I think Geno Smith is bad. But so are the Titans right now. Right. I will say this. Give me Calvin Ridley. 42 and a half. I'm just going to blindly take it. And it was a really ugly start to the year. Third week with a new play caller after, you know, clown Brian Callahan decided he's taking on too much, you know, surprise. but if you guys think they're going to trail a little bit, it makes me feel a little bit better. You know, Ridley had like a really discreet injury last week. He ended up playing a decent clip. What did he play? Like 60 some odd percent of the snaps. I mean, last week he had a 41% air yard share, 23% target share, an ADOT almost 17. That's what you sign up for. That's what we all thought we were drafting in Calvin Ridley this year. And there's a total possibility that the Titans do a 180 and it's back to, you know, atrocious football. But that late drive by Cam Ward, it gave me a glimmer of hope that maybe there's a little bit of competency moving forward. And that's all I could ask for. J.C. Latham's coming back. The offensive line might be better. So we'll see. I think Calvin Ridley will get the job done at 42.5.
I like it.
Yeah, I just built a Ward Ridley Gente DFS stack, and now you can play whatever. I think you play whatever you want after that, right?
Don't play Cam Ward. Love Cam Ward. Just don't do it. I don't know.
This quarterback slate for DFS is ugly. I feel like you know if you catch lightning in a bottle, one of these low cost guys, I think you're in good shape, right?
I don't know.
Listen, let me talk myself into playing Cam Ward and the Millie Maker, please. Let me have this.
I'll leave you alone. I'm turning my notifications off on Sunday, though, so when it's a disaster, I'll get back to you on Monday.
Yeah, it'll be ugly to watch. All right, let's go to where are we? Are we? I don't even know where this game is. Are we in San Francisco for this one? The Bucs, 3.5 favorites over. No, I guess we must be. Are we in Tampa?
No, we're in Tampa.
We're in Tampa. All right. Yeah, that's Bucs are 3-point favorites over the Niners, 47.5. I think he's either the third or fifth best wide receiver in DFS points so far this year, although he does play running back. Christian McCaffrey. Dan, are we hammering him?
I mean, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, it's got to stop eventually, right? Like, how high can you bet this receiving yards for McCaffrey? But, I mean, it's all the way down at 48.5 on MGM. I mean, guys, he's over that five straight and cleared all of them, every game by like 20 yards except one. And the thing is, it's a perfect spot for receiving a pass catching back because Tampa is a stone wall coming for the run game. And they just funnel everything to the pass game and they give up a ton of receptions and receiving yards to running backs. So it's like the perfect spot for CMC for like DraftKings DFS and for, you know, his receiving props. So I just think it's still a low number for his massive, massive role here, especially if Pearsall and Jennings don't play. And they're both trending towards being out, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Pearsall definitely. Abuka, is this number too high to bet?
Not with Chris Godwin out, I don't think it is. Yeah. I mean, maybe you're just worried about systemic failure here for the Tampa Bay offense. But Ibuka is going to be the guy. That's for certain. The one I was on before the Godwin news was Rashad White receiving yards. Has been a capable pass catcher his whole career. Now has the backfield virtually to himself. Tucker wasn't much of a threat last week. I feel like they trust Rashad White more. They're going to go back to him. 80% of the snaps last week. That's a fantastic role. Rushing or receiving yards was sitting around 20.5 before the Godwin news. Looks like it's only up to 24.5 right now. There's still a 21.5 out there even. Rashad White receiving yards is my look here.
I like that.
Luch, you got something you like?
The only thing, I'm with Dan. That's really the only look I like in this game. They're going to have to find creative ways to get McCaffrey the ball, and I think that translates to some swing screens and some little dump-offs, as long as that ball's going forward and they don't count as rush attempts. You know, I think more than usual, Shanahan knows Tampa Bay as a funnel. Like, historically, the last how many years they've played the same philosophy. Good call, Dan. They're going to have to find some ways to get him the ball in space, and I think that's a good bet.
I got one more just if people are, you know, looking for something. And we haven't talked a lot about tight ends, but Jake Tong is, I mean, it's 3.5 receptions at 35.5 yards. He had 11 targets last week, 7 catches, 41. A lot of short catches. So I kind of lean towards the receptions more than the yardage just because he didn't have very high ADOT. But, I mean, if he's playing a ton of snaps, 23% target share. Tampa has given up. It looks like at least four receptions to every tight end except one this year. So that's just another kind of low number for a position we haven't talked much about.
All right, let's go to our final game of the week. Packers, 14.5 point favorites over the Bengals. 44.5 is the total. I'll start with you, Dan. You love Love?
I do. I like him a lot. He burned me. The last time I bet on him was against the Browns because I really looked into the pass funnel angle and how good they were on the ground. And they just kind of laid an egg in that game, obviously. But Cincinnati's pass defense is just abysmal. I mean, their defense in general is abysmal. But, yeah, it's a low number. I mean, I know they want to run the ball first, but, you know, he had 337 against Dallas, 292 against Washington. It's again, a really bad defense. I guess the big worry would be that they're 14-point favorites at home and they get up early and they don't have to, you know, they don't have to throw it. They can take the air out of the ball with Jacobs, but I think I'll take a shot at it.
All right. I know, Keith, as much as Dan loves Love, you hate Brown.
Yeah, I think he touched on something really important. The Bengals are 14-point underdogs, and I don't think they have a chance in this game. Green Bay has come back to earth a little bit, but they're clearly the better team, especially with no Burrow for the Bengals. Their defense just is not there. And in a trailing game script, they have been taking Chase Brown off the field. He played only 53% of the snaps last week. Samaje Perine was up to 47%. If they're trailing by two touchdowns, he's just not going to be out there. So 45.5 rushing yards is just too many. If you wanted to play the over on Chase Brown's receiving yards, I'd be okay with that. But my look is under 45.5 rushing yards.
Anyone want to buy my Chase Brown shares on Underdog? I only got about 33%.
I got a bunch too. If we're talking tight ends, I do like – I don't really like Tucker Kraft's numbers, but I like him for a touchdown at plus 185. He's got a 25% red zone target share. They like to use him down there. It's a pretty decent number for him. You know, obviously, Josh Jacobs is like minus 220, minus 240 for two, so that shows you, you know, what kind of chalk he'll be for DFS. But I don't know. Tucker Kraft's a nice target in the red zone. I like that touchdown prop.
Love it.
I think Green Bay is just as maddening to figure out how to bet as Buffalo. Another team in showdown, it's like, what do you do? Romeo Doubs, 50% target share. Tucker Kraft, 15%. Wicks, 13%. Josh Jacobs, 11%. Matthew Golden, 11%. There's no alpha.
And Jaden Reed and Christian Watson are still out. Wait till they come back.
Yeah, right. Like,
it's insane.
Yeah. So these games are typically passes for me, at least in the betting landscape. And now, I mean, can we talk about Joe Flacco actually starting on?
What's his number? What's Flacco's number? What's his yardage number? If it's over 222, I'm in.
Give me a second. I just think that's crazy.
He knows what he's doing out there. He's been there before.
He's just going to have no protection there.
I know, but he's going to get rid of the ball. You know, quick outs. That's too low. Come on.
I don't know. He's got one. He's been under 200 three straight weeks. I don't know.
Well, he's not. But now he's with the Bengals. I mean, you know, they're going to throw. He's going to throw the ball.
So a worse offensive line than he came from. That's what you're saying. Have you watched the Bengals block for anybody? Jesus, they can't even.
They can't block. No. So, I mean, I guess they'll be out of shotgun every call, every play, right? I mean, if I'm playing.
The play where the the two Houston ends like met in the backfield and no one touched them. Like I just, Joe Flacco's a statue. He's going to be dead meat. I don't know. I just
these are minor details. I say snap the ball to Flacco. He's going to get rid of the ball immediately. He's going to throw the 50 times. He'll complete 30 passes for 5 yards. Maybe not. For a team with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, that's a low number for a quarterback.
That's fair. That's a good
point. That's the strategy I have been advocating for Jamar Chase and why I've been chasing his receptions prop for 3 weeks. We finally got over 5.5 receptions last week after missing it 2 weeks in a row. But that's what makes sense to me. Just throw quick screens to Jamar Chase and let him do the work. Like, it doesn't take an offensive line to do that.
And you have a pro at quarterback now.
Right. So maybe they're able to execute that a little better at this point.
Right.
I just don't know why they've haven't used Chase Brown that way all year. Like, why haven't they been using Chase Brown as a receiver like on early downs? Like, it's baffling because that was where he was successful last year. It's been such a weird way that they've used him.
Yeah, theoretically, they're the heaviest dog on the slate, I think. So I get it. You know, there was a note that Jamar Chase is sick. He did a 10 walkthrough. They sent him home. Hopefully he's good to go by Sunday. I don't know.
I've had a little sniffles. I've been managing to get through the show. So if I can do it, Chase can do it. I'm pretty confident. Yeah. All right. We did it all. All right. We're going to go around the horn. Dan, I don't know if we told you this. We're going to ask you for your best bet. So I'll start with Keith. We'll end with Luch, who's going to take us out of here. So Keith, best bet of the week. What's your top prop?
I was going to go with Kendre Miller, but then the Alvin Kamara questionable status popped up, and now we have an interesting situation there. So I will pivot to Ashton Jeanty over 72.5 rushing yards. Just love the matchup for him against Tennessee. Good spot.
Dan, top prop of the week.
Of the ones we talked about, I really think the JSN one is probably my favorite prop. It just feels like he's so involved. And they're really going to have to throw the football this week in a good game against Jacksonville. Just he's been so good, and that number just hasn't adjusted. I think that's the safest one.
All right. And finally, Luch.
I will take Keith's Jeanty prop and throw a little two-legger in to correlate with Ridley going over 42.5. So I think that's reasonable. We'll probably get some reasonable odds on that one. So we'll do that. And I'll pass it over to you before we get out of here. What's your favorite prop? Don't say Joe Flacco.
I wasn't paying attention. All right, what's my favorite prop besides Mike Vrabel for Coach of the Year? It's a good, you know, the Henry under, I love that. I don't see a world in which the Ravens can move the ball against the Rams. And again, as I said earlier, McVay's such a pro. I just see the Rams coming in there to take care of business, not do anything fancy, just put the ball in Kyron's belly for 30 times. And there's no way Henry's hitting those numbers. No way.
Yeah, I like that call. I guess that's it. Dan, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. And one more time, what's the Twitter handle where the people can find you on Twitter?
At ThunderDanDFS. Like I said, I got running back matchups coming out tomorrow, and I'll probably try to tweet some bets out. Sometimes Sunday morning I do a little bets or a little tweet thread with like sneaky DFS plays too. So yeah, betting, DFS, all that good stuff, man. It was a lot of fun, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it.
For sure. Everything's free on props. All kinds of articles. I mean, we are loaded. We have college football, NFL. We still got some baseball content trickling out there. Before we know it, we'll be talking NBA, which is crazy, but we're so close to NBA. So,
good game tonight. Can we talk Tigers Mariners for a minute there? Yeah, game five, Kirby and Scooble. You see, the 5.5 is the total. I mean, that's a pitcher's duel, baby. I love it. I want it to be 1-0, bottom of the night. Yeah, 0-0 going to the bottom of the night. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Should be a good one. Yeah.
Should be really good. Yeah, you're talking to a bunch of K-props guys here. So
I didn't even look at the numbers today. I didn't know the Scooble's numbers, but it's probably too low.
I think it was 8.5. Was it 8.5? I think that's what I saw.
Dude's gonna be throwing 100 in the eighth inning still because he's an animal.
Yeah, that should be a great game. Great baseball games here. Usually when my team gets bounced, I need like a mental reset for 24 hours. But like, I'm still into it. Like, these series have been awesome. And the Cubbies and the Brewers, I mean, tomorrow, Keith, the Cubs fan in the chat, how are you feeling about the Cubs?
Feeling pretty good. The starting pitching was real dicey there for a while. Matthew Boyd bailed us out with a nice one yesterday. Yeah. So,
what's the matchup tomorrow? Who's starting five?
I don't know that they've announced. I think we're looking at two bullpen games. Imanaga's going to be involved probably. I hope they go with an opener. The dude just can't keep the ball in the yard at this point.
Yeah.
So I think they'll go with an opener so he can avoid Churio in the first. That would be what I did. If they're going to Imanaga, I guess Savali's in the conversation for some length, but it's mostly a bullpen game, I think. And then Milwaukee's probably looking at Mizorowski after an opener.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Tough one. Hopefully he's a little wild.
Great weekend. Great time of the year for sports. You got to love it. Lastly, check out our Discord. It's free where we pop in there. And also, if you don't want to look at our ugly mugs, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. So if you got some errands to run, you could listen to us and talk everything NFL week 6. So let's head out of here. For Thunder Dan, Keith, and Jeff, I am the Looch. Good luck. Have a great weekend, everybody.